The president wants to spy on 200 million Americans without a warrant. Has he read this document which he was sworn to uphold?
Now, I will not have you libel Abraham Lincoln.
I don't understand the problem with registering guns. We register cars.
Mark Levine brings you the news the government doesn't want you to know.
Today, an explosive story about connections between white supremacists and Islamic terrorists.
When there's a conflict between Scalia's conservative values and the Constitution of the United States, he throws away the Constitution.
When we do have secret prisons, that is not what America's all about.
Let's go to Mark in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. The debate over health insurance reform is very hot in Congress. It is very complicated as well. Five committees have decided their version of the bill, and they have to conference them all together. Four of those bills allow for a public option in health insurance. A public option meaning that you have a chance to use a government-funded health insurance program rather than a privately funded one, much like people who use Medicare today. One of the five committees has given up the public option, and there are big fights. The health insurance companies have declared war on President Obama. It seems that the Democrats want to take away all their profits. Well, should their profits be taken away? Or should we hear from the real people who are suffering? Healthcare is one out of six of all dollars spent on our gross national product. One-sixth of them goes to healthcare. Think about that. The money on your house, the money on your car, the money you spend on clothes, the money you spend on food, the money you spend schooling your children. One out of every $6 goes to healthcare. And 30% of those dollars goes right into the profits of health insurance companies. Should they be making this much money off of our misery? I think lost in all this context, in talking about the health insurance companies and the doctors and the hospitals and those that make medical devices, lost is individual people. Lost are the people who are suffering. Not just those who are uninsured or underinsured. Some 40 million Americans do not have health insurance or do not have enough health care insurance. And if they get in trouble, let's face it, what do? They go to emergency rooms. And it doesn't provide them the best care, and it also jacks up your rates. But also the people with health insurance. Health insurance right now is a business, and its business is not to make you well. Its business is to make sure that if you are sick, you lose your care. Think about how health insurance profits work. They're really very tricky. You see, if you're well, the health insurance companies make money off of you. So they have every incentive to try to encourage very young, very healthy people to join their system. But if you get sick, well, you're harming their profits. They're going to look for every excuse in the world not to cover you. And if you have a pre-existing condition, well, God help you, you won't be covered at all. It's very interesting because the United States does health insurance differently from every other country on earth. In every other Western industrialized country, I should say. I mean, I'm sure our insurance system, you know, might rival that in Ghana or another third world country. But in Europe, in Japan, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada, to our neighbors to the north, you will find that in every one of those countries, including, like I said, the countries of Europe, France, Germany, England, Australia, Japan, Canada, they all live longer than we do, sometimes 2 or 3 years longer than we do, and they pay less for their health care. In fact, the United States spends 50% more on health care than every other country on earth. Why do we spend so much? And why do we have so little to show for it? Interestingly, there's only one part of the health insurance system that most people like. You may have heard of it. It's called Medicare. That's right. Medicare, the government-run program for those over 65, has an approval rating of 94%. Now, you know there are many things that Americans disagree on. We disagree on many things. Try to think of something that we agree 94% on. It's kind of hard to imagine that. If the world is round, you might get 94%. Maybe. You probably wouldn't get it that high for evolution or for much basic science. In fact, I doubt you get 94% support if you put the Constitution of the United States to a vote. So why do Americans like Medicare so much? Well, it lets them choose their doctor. It's voluntary. People can choose whether or not to use it. And it takes care of the sickest among us. So I'm not 65 yet. I want Medicare. Right now, my own, I'll tell you my own horror story, and then later on I'm going to bring a guest who has a more severe horror story. My own horror story has to do with my health insurance coverage, and I'm going to say it by name. It's Blue Cross of Virginia. Blue Cross of Virginia raised my premiums 90%, almost doubled, over the last 3 years. Now, other than an annual doctor visit, I haven't used that much health care over the last 3 years. I guess they understand that they are a monopoly. They can take advantage of me. So they are raising my rates, not because I'm using it, but I guess because they know they're a monopoly. In fact, they're a monopoly in many of the 50 states. There is an exemption in the antitrust laws for health insurance. Most people don't even recognize this. They don't even know this. In fact, I was talking recently with some Republicans, and they hate Obama, and they think he's a socialist, and they say, why can't we have health insurance across state lines? And I said, fine, I'm okay with health insurance across state lines, but then they'd have to compete with other health insurance companies. And the way the laws work right now, they have an exemption. They don't have to compete. So health insurance not only doesn't act like a free market, they have more advantages than others in the free market. Is that the way it should be? Most people don't even know the facts of this. Most people don't know that 94% of people want Medicare. Or that 83% of Americans, according to a recent Suffolk University poll, want a public option for health insurance. 83%. No wonder 4 out of 5 congressional committees found for it. And yet, only one Republican in the entire House and the Senate has come out for possibly some kind of reform, and that's Olympia Snowe, and even she doesn't want a public option. Why are Republicans against health care? Particularly when, if we had Medicare for all who wanted. If those of us under 65 were allowed Medicare, first of all, my premiums would be less. My parents, who are both over 65, pay less than half of what Blue Cross wants to charge me. And, you know, my parents are in pretty good health for their age, but most people in their 70s have more health problems than people who are younger and healthier. So I would pay less. I would love to join Medicare, but they won't let me. Why can't we have Medicare for all? Here's another secret. If you happen to be over 65 and you like your Medicare, as 94% of people over 65 do, Medicare becomes stronger if you let me join it. If you let those of us under 65, and we could start with those 50 and over, but I would go all the way down to children. If you let us join Medicare, you know what happens? Medicare becomes stronger because young people would put more premiums into the system and Medicare would become more solvent. Let's face it, Medicare at its current rate is not in the most fiscally sound shape. It's probably likely to go bankrupt. But if a lot of people under 65 can join in the system, it becomes stronger. And the secret, of course, is that people in their 40s and 30s and 20s don't use health care as much as people in their 60s and 70s. So it would make Medicare stronger. So why don't Republicans support it? Most Republicans, if you push them really hard and you talk to them off the record, they'll tell you that, well, they do think there needs to be some kind of reform. But as long as they hold up against President Obama, as long as he doesn't have any success, as long as they are the party of no, guess what happens? They think they can win in the 2010 midterms. They think that the entire election strategy can be the party of no. After all, President Obama is not the first president to attempt health care. I don't remember, but back at the time of Teddy Roosevelt, in fact, Teddy Roosevelt tried health care. Franklin Roosevelt tried health care insurance reform. Even Harry Truman tried health care insurance reform. And of course, we know the most famous, Bill Clinton, and his wife, Hillary Clinton, attempted health care insurance reform, and they all failed. And in fact, in 94, after Bill Clinton failed with health insurance reform, the Republicans used that opportunity to take over the Congress. Any political strategist will tell you they are doing the exact same thing again. Not because they don't think there shouldn't be reform, but because they think that the time is now to destroy reform in order to beat Obama in an election. But I think too much has been talked about, members of Congress and senators and health insurance companies and doctors and nurses. What about the patients? What about the people? What about the people who are uninsured, who are underinsured, the people who have private health care and have suffered under it? My guest today is one such person. Now, he's a very interesting guest because he's someone who has used his own private tragedy, his own suffering, his own misfortune as someone who suffers from a chronic illness, and he's using it to pay back the insurance companies. My guest today, Joel Siegel, has spent 14 years battling the health insurance companies. And in fact, after his horrific story, which you're going to hear right here on the air, he decided to dedicate really his life's work. Now he is a senior aide to a member of Congress, and he's working on health policy specifically to try to get a public option. Joel Siegel, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
No, it's nice to meet you.
Joel, first of all, before we get to the details of policy, I think we need to talk about your story. Tell us, if you don't mind, what illness you suffer from and what happened to you from this illness.
First of all, I'm honored to be on your show, and I saw you recently on Fox News.
I was on Bill O'Reilly's show. That's true.
And you're a rising star.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
In punditry, but I'm so fortunate to be on your show, so thank you for asking me to be here. Well, my story is reflective of what happens to millions of people in America where you don't have health insurance and you are literally shut out of the health system, or you have health insurance and you are smacked with co-pays, you have to borrow money from friends, you're excluded from treatment altogether because you didn't pay the last co-pays. And it is an absolute outrage because we're the wealthiest country in the world.
Tell me specifically what happened to you. What did you suffer from?
Yeah.
And did you have health insurance at the time?
Yeah.
Well, what happened?
Well, I was born premature, about 8 weeks. And I suffer from a respiratory ailment called obstructive sleep apnea. It's where your throat closes.
Wow.
You quit breathing. It's fatal.
Wow.
And after four surgeries, none of them which were successful, I sleep on an apparatus called CPAP, which keeps me breathing at night. And as a result of four major surgeries and sleeping on various machines and trying different masks, I owe over $100,000 in medical bills. My credit record's destroyed. It's hard for me to even get an apartment. I tried to get a car recently for my daughter, and I couldn't take it off the lot because of my credit. But the hardest thing, if you already got a disability and you're living with it, and why should you have to suffer the indignities of not knowing whether or not you're going to get care?
And you were born with this disability.
Yeah, I was born with it, and thank God I've been successfully treated, but there are millions of people who have what I have. They cannot get the care that they need. In the wealthiest country in the world.
We need to take a quick break, though.
Sure.
I want
to
hear, when we come back,
Okay. The
details of your story, what specifically you suffered through. Did you go to the insurance companies? I'm sure you did, and try to get help.
Bottom.
We're going to get to that, and you can share your story as well. Just call in 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Do you like your insurance company? If not, why not? We'll be right back after this.
Some of them.
Some dreams are universal. Dreams that inspire us. Multiple sclerosis is a devastating disease that changes lives forever. The National MS Society does more for people with MS than any organization in the world. But we can't do it alone. To get involved, visit us online at nationalmssociety.org. or call 1-800-FIGHT-MS. This is why we're here. Because nobody dreams of having multiple sclerosis.
What's wrong with this picture? Half of young Americans can't locate economic powers like Japan and India. 20% can't even find the Pacific Ocean. Without geography, our children aren't ready for the world. Geography is everywhere. It's incredible creatures. Rhythm. Fashion. Flavor. It's economics and politics. It's change. Understanding connections between people and places is critical in the 21st century. That's why we created MyWonderfulWorld.org, Go there now for your free parent and teacher action kits and give our kids the power of global knowledge. Because kids who understand our world today can succeed in it tomorrow.
Here again, The Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. We're talking about healthcare, specifically how health insurance companies, private health insurance companies, have not treated Americans that well. If you have a story, maybe you want to praise health insurance companies. I don't care. Give us a call, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, and tell us your experience. Have you been treated well by your health insurance company? Would you prefer a public option? 83% of Americans prefer a public option. Are you with the majority? Are you with the minority? Tell us your story. Sitting to my left is Joel Siegel, who's telling us his story. He's someone who has truly taken lemons and made lemonade out of them, someone who's taken a horrific condition and turned it around and tried to help the entire nation because of it. Joel, welcome back to The Inside
Scoop. Thank you. Good to be here.
Now, it's interesting because when people think of people with pre-existing conditions, you might hear on the Fox News propaganda channel, which I've been on, you might hear people talk about people who smoke or people who overeat. And there's no question there are some people whose health problems are a cause of their own conduct. Smoking is the clearest example. 400,000 die a year because of tobacco use. I'm certainly not defending that. But you were born with your condition. It was a genetic condition or because you're a premature baby, I guess?
Yeah, it's strictly genetic because I was born 8 weeks premature. But I had symptoms from the time I was in the first grade, you know, through junior high school, college.
Have you been on these machines as a child? Were you on these machines?
I was born with actually not breathing.
Wow.
So they put me in the incubator, but the back of my tongue is too big. So when I fall asleep on my back, the gravity pushes it back, completely blocks my airway. And the only reason why I have the problem is because I'm a human being, and there are about 70 million people with chronic illnesses. I'm actually chairman of
70 million people with chronic illnesses. So that's a little, maybe one out of six people in America.
One out of five. So the reason why you need either Medicare for All or Medicare for All who want it is private insurance is not going to help.
Well,
people like
case,
myself,
well,
it's just not
case,
going to.
Your parents, if you don't mind me asking, I assume one of your parents worked and had health insurance through their employer, is that right?
Yeah, my father was a very successful shoe salesman.
Okay. Did they provide health care at the shoe?
They did. I mean, store? I started working at age 15 because my father died when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, got my undergraduate degree. I graduated with honors from UNC Chapel Hill, Tar Heels. Then I went to law school there. I had no idea that I would get, you know, sick. I was an athlete as a young man. And what would happen is I would actually have Blue Cross Blue Shield. I call it Blue Cross Blue Steel because it's been stealing my money.
You know, I was just complaining about that earlier on the broadcast. They've actually raised my premium 90% in 3 years, and I don't have any major health problems.
You know, I wouldn't be an activist if it worked like my car insurance. You know, I pay my Geico car insurance, and you get in a wreck, it covers you almost 100%. But if I'm spending thousands of dollars a year for insurance, well, then it should insure me. I'll give you an example of where it doesn't work, Blue Cross Blue Shield or private insurance. This is three nights in the hospital. I have a bill here.
Okay.
Bills don't lie. This is not propaganda.
Right, right.
Three nights in the hospital for bronchitis, which is, I often get that because I have sleep apnea. And here's my bill, my copay. This is on the congressional plan, $1,459.44. Now, if I'm paying about $200 plus a month for insurance, isn't that supposed to insure me against risk? Isn't that why you purchase insurance? But here's
$1,500 copay.
Well, how in the world am I supposed to pay this when I've already $100,000.
Well, here's what I understand,
This is highway robbery.
Congress
needs to stop.
Well, Congress
stop.
Is supposed to provide health care. Aren't you on the federal plan? Have public option already?
I am on the plan, the congressional plan, and it works great until I use it. It's fool's gold. It's not the gold standard. Here's another example of where congressional blue shield doesn't work. Here's a bill for, 15 minutes because I went out of network to see two doctors about surgery for my apnea. So it was a 15-minute examination, but it was out of my network, $695.
Wow. Now, that's about $3,000 an hour.
Well, it's
That's pretty good for a 50-minute consultation.
But here,
that's even more than lawyers make.
That's right.
Wow.
Now, here's the problem. The problem is I can wear a suit and tie, have my law degree from UNC Chapel Hill, work in the Congress, and I can advocate for people who, like myself, are just suffering tremendously under a corporate private insurance-based system. But here's the larger question. If we're the wealthiest country in the world, based on Judeo-Christian values, is it morally and ethically right to allow 1 million people to go bankrupt each year because of unpaid medical bills?
One million people.
A quarter of all home foreclosures, quarter, due to unpaid medical bills, and most had insurance. Over 17 million people with medical debt. Is that right when people are working
like,
hard and playing by the rules?
How many thousands die a year?
44,000.
44,000 people.
According to Harvard Medical School,
die every year.
Yeah, in fact,
from not having enough health insurance.
Yeah, I just got an email today.
Or inadequate health insurance.
Who will be testifying in Congress shortly, from Philadelphia, whose son died because she didn't have health insurance. And let me tell you something. This is not Republican or Democrat issue. It should never be turned into that. This is about whether or not you love your country, whether or not you think America, like I do, is the greatest country on the earth. And should everyone have the right to be a patient? Should everyone have the right to be healthy? Should everyone have the right to see a doctor of or provider of their choice? And if the answer is yes, then the United States Congress has to make a decision in 8 weeks. What's the best way to cover people like myself?
Well, let me ask you about yourself, Joel, because you're born with this coverage.
Yes.
You're covered at least through college by Blue Cross Blue Shield. They covered you, right? They paid for some things.
Well, they paid for some things, but I used to have to do stand-up comedy at the law school to raise money for various devices that my insurance policy wouldn't cover.
So you had health insurance?
I've always had
and
health insurance.
And it wouldn't cover the thing you were born with.
Yeah, they would always say, the insurance companies would say, well, it was experimental after I'd been to Duke.
Experimental to let you breathe.
Correct.
I have an experiment. If they don't let you breathe, we could see what happens, but you probably wouldn't be pleased with the results.
Well, I mean, Duke University Sleep Center, one of the best in the world, would say, you know, Joel Siegel needs this device or this machine. But of course, a 23-year-old kid with an MBA knows more than a doctor. But here's the problem. The problem is the insurance company's trust fund are too weak and fragile and too small. And what do I mean by that? If you have 8 to 10 million people covered by Blue Cross Blue Shield, they're paying millions out to stockholders in dividends.
Right.
They're paying about an average of $11 million on a CEO salary.
Right. I think some 30%, right, of their cost is due to administrative costs.
15 to 30%. Now, here's the issue before us. Do we cover people with public insurance like Medicare or an improved Medicare program, which works in 30 nations? It's called single-payer universal health care.
But if your stuff costs so much, if you're the machines that you need to keep alive at night cost so much, won't it cost the same for Medicare as it does for health insurance?
No.
Why not?
It's a good question because the federal government has what's called monopsony powers where it can use its tremendous negotiating and leveraging power to reduce the cost of machines, drugs. It's called common sense.
Well, you know, it's like monopoly power when you're the seller. Only monopsony means the buyer. The idea is if there's one buyer and lots of sellers, the buyer gets the best rate. Canada, in fact, negotiates their drug prices, and they're, what, half of ours?
Every country in the world that's Western capitalist has the same universal single-payer system where the federal government negotiates with the drug companies and with the doctors. And guess what? The difference between Europe and even Taiwan and Japan, they don't have left or right and Republican versus Democrat. They have this word. Let me say it. It's called cooperation. The government cooperates with the business sector, and they all do it for the benefit of what? The benefit of the health of the patient. And right now, the biggest question in Congress is the following. Do we allow people to buy into something like a Medicare-like public option since they took single-payer off the table, which was basically a
That would be treating us like the other Western nations, right? Canada and Japan and Australia and England and
France
and Germany and every other industrialized nation on Earth.
Well, correct. France has the best country. France has the best health system in the world. It's ranked number one. So basically a single-payer universal system, but you can opt out and get private insurance. This is similar to HR 3200, which is the House plan.
Okay, but this is all technical mumbo-jumbo. If you were under Medicare, Joel, mm-hmm. how would you be treated? Would you be able to get your treatment? Very simple,
because I just happen to have a bill.
Oh, okay. What happens if Medicare were to cover you? Would you be covered? Would you be able to get these machines you need to breathe?
Yes, just as Medicare has covered senior citizens and the disabled, right around 43 million this year, since 65, passing 65 under President Johnson, fully implemented in 1 year, 3% administrative overhead. You get a card in the mail. It's called Medicare. You show it to any doctor. It's not government run. It's a big difference now.
Right, right. Your doctor actually provides you with care under Medicare.
Yeah,
I guess people over 65 know this, but those of us under 65 just don't know how it works.
Well, it's public insurance, so you show your card to any doctor, to any hospital. They look at your card. They say, come on in. We'd like to treat you now. They treat you. And then normally your bill is either zero or very minimal, maybe $15, $20. Now here's a woman who's on Medicare living in Bethesda, Maryland.
Okay.
Two nights in the hospital. Her charges are $11,877.
$11,877. That's if she has no insurance. Almost $12,000.
Right. Now her copay, all that she owes under Medicare is
$15. $15?
Correct.
15.
Versus my bill.
Right.
And this is indicative of most people with private insurance. So here's the question. Do Americans want to pay $1,459.44 because private insurance is private?
Right.
Or do they want to do that horrible thing called Medicare that's been around since 65 and pay either zero or $15? Don't be fooled by those who say Medicare is socialized medicine. Socialized medicine is Britain. That's when the government actually owns and operates the infrastructure.
Right.
Medicare is public insurance that covers your treatment that's privately delivered. It works great. When Max Baucus, Senator Max Baucus, and everyone should know this, your audience should know this.
Okay. Then we got to take a quick break. So
no problem. They said single payers off the table. Max Baucus was saying that Medicare was off the table. Instead, he wants to model a national universal health care system off the Massachusetts plan, which has escalating premiums, cost overruns, and 300,000 people.
We have to take a break, but I want to talk about the Massachusetts plan. After all, Governor Mitt Romney ran for President of the United States. I'm sure he stands behind it. Let's talk about that plan, talk about the various country plans, and talk about you. How do you like your health insurance? This is live TV. It's your chance to weigh in. 888-488-MARK. Back after this.
Osama bin Laden calls getting nuclear weapons a religious duty.
Today, materials that can be used to make nuclear weapons are stored in more than 40 countries.
Sometimes protected by just a chain link fence.
Yet not enough is being done to lock down these materials
before terrorists steal them. Why did we learn all this?
My mother.
My son.
My sister-in-law.
Were all murdered September 11th.
Help protect America.
Together we can. Please join us.
The stem cell issue is being debated throughout the country. Truth is, most everyone has an opinion, even if they don't know the facts.
Let's stop arguing and start really understanding the potential of stem cell research.
For us and for millions of Americans living with disabilities, get the facts.
Call 1-877-842-3442 for free information from the Stem Cell Research Foundation. That's 1-877-842-3442.
Following the tragic events of September 11th, there have been hundreds of violent attacks against innocent Americans.
Remember what that flag you're waving stands for.
Remember, please stop the hate.
We're stronger when we are united.
Remember. Remember what that flag you're waving stands for.
One nation under God.
Indivisible.
With liberty.
And justice.
For all.
In America, there's either room for everyone or it's not America.
Don't pick the wrong fight.
Let's keep America land of the free.
Stop the hate.
Planning a home renovation? Put this at the top of your to-do list.
Because after 10 years, none of you are protected against tetanus and another potentially fatal disease, diphtheria.
A minor injury, such as a cut or a scrape, can put you at risk for a tetanus infection.
And while safety gear offers some protection, An up-to-date vaccination called the TD booster is the best insurance against tetanus.
So get the TD booster. If it's been 10, do it again.
Here again, The Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. We're talking about the public option for health care. It's something that 83% of Americans support, but it seems that the opponents are louder sometimes than the majority. You've heard the opponents. They've been on Fox Propaganda Channel. You've seen them. What about the majority of Americans who actually support a public option for health care? My guest, Joel Siegel, has done an amazing thing. He's taken a horrific genetic disease, something he was born with, and turned it into really a crusade against the health insurance industry. One of the things he just brought in were bills to show that three nights in a hospital under private insurance cost $1,500 and three nights in the hospital under Medicare cost $15. I can tell you any American would rather pay $15 than $1,500. This is sounding like an infomercial here. But here's the thing I don't understand. Medicare is going bankrupt. I mean, it's fiscally not very sound. And that's because it treats the oldest and sickest of the population. Many more 85-year-olds have medical problems than 35-year-olds. Now, some 85-year-olds are very healthy. Some 35-year-olds are very sick. But on average, you're going to find more health care problems among the aged. If young people were able to buy in the system, if they were to pay premiums, they wouldn't use the system as much as your average elderly person. Wouldn't that make Medicare stronger?
Well, that's a great question. We often hear the argument from, it's usually the right wing that says, well, Medicare is going broke, therefore let's not expand it and improve it. And let me tell you why that is a fallacious, if not dangerous, argument. Any federal government program will go broke if you don't have enough investment in your trust fund. Any business goes broke if it doesn't have enough money in its bank account. So you never hear the Pentagon with forecast about it going broke.
No, and they're borrowing money all the time.
Well,
in fact, as I recall, we didn't raise taxes at all for Afghanistan or Iraq.
Well, it's real simple why the Pentagon's never going broke is because there's a commitment from the American people and the Congress and the President to defend the country. So even when maybe there's about $70 billion in Cold War weapon systems that even the Pentagon says, hey, we don't need it, the Congress votes on it because it creates jobs. It's a jobs program. That's what a lot of the Pentagon spending is.
There's jobs in health insurance. There's doctors. There's nurses. There's certainly jobs and hospital workers, right?
Well, of course. I mean, because I work in health policy and do budgets since, you know, for 20 years, to make sure that a program doesn't go broke, you got to do three things. One is you got to make sure that the program is as efficient as possible. And if the Medicare program, which is, by the way, one of the best programs in the world, a lot of countries have modeled their universal systems off around Medicare.
Interesting.
All you have to do is make sure that the Medicare program does not feed the corporate monster. What does that mean? That's for-profit hospitals that have a 680% markup.
So Medicare, basically, you can bargain. That's the heart of it. It's bargaining power. That's what makes government-run health care cheaper than private health care. Because you and I mean, Blue Cross raised my rates 90%. I'm stuck. They have a monopoly. In fact, there's a monopoly exemption in Congress that allows them to be exempt from antitrust laws.
Well, I mean, any sixth grader could do the math. I mean, if you bargain down the prices of prescription drugs, you could save $100, $200 billion a year in Medicare. That's A. B, if you tell hospitals you cannot have a 680% markup. So if you go to fix your arm because it's broken, what cost 180 costs 680. Well, of course there's going to be a stress on Medicare, but it's not the Medicare program. That's actually saving the country money. It's for-profit corporate care, hospitals owned often by doctors to make a profit.
Hospitals, if I break my arm and I can pay my bills, a hospital might charge me 600% more. If it costs $100, they might charge me $700 because they need to pay for all the uninsured people who are showing up in their emergency rooms, who are never going to pay their bills. They can't afford it. They don't have any insurance. They have only one doctor. It's called the emergency room. They use it all the time, and they're going to raise my rates to pay for them. Right?
Well, that is very true. But the other problem, if you have for-profit hospitals like Senator Bill Frist has, HCA, you're paying stockholders
right.
It's millions and millions of dollars.
Profits on top.
So what we have a country where healthcare became a commodity.
Right.
The country evolved where 460,000 people, that's how many people are employed by insurance companies. It's to the benefit of the insurance industry and for-profit hospitals. Look.
So let's talk about why costs are so high. You got the big profits. Mm-hmm. That's why costs are so
that's
high.
That's it.
You can't bargain the way the government can bargain.
Correct.
Preventative care, I would suspect, is cheaper than emergency care. In other words, if we took these poor people and we gave them heart medication that might cost $100 a month maybe, then they would take the heart medication. They wouldn't have a horrific heart attack, which is obviously very painful and can kill them, and they wouldn't be charged going to the emergency room for quintuple emergency heart bypass surgery that costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. So it's not just a moral question. Let's say I'm a Republican, and I'm not. I'm a die-in-the-wool Democrat.
I thought you were conservative. Let's say
I'm a Republican, and to be a Republican, you have to care nothing about other people. It's one of the requirements. When you become a Republican, you give up your empathy card. You say, I only care about me. I only care about my family. Let the poor die. Step over the homeless person. I've got things to do. That's the Republican mantra, right? But let's say I'm a pure Republican, and I'm saying, look, I don't care if people die, but I don't want my kids to get sick. Because if people are dying in the street, they might have swine flu, and guess what? My kids can get sick. Or if people are dying and going to the emergency room, and most even hard-hearted Republicans don't believe that you should deny emergency care to someone who's dying, even if they're poor, then I've got to pay more because we didn't pay for the preventative care. On a purely dollars and cents notion, if you're completely heartless, is it cheaper to provide for the uninsured than to make them go to emergency rooms?
Well, absolutely. I mean, because I've had surgeries for my sleep apnea, and because I'm on a CPAP machine, that is preventing worse illness like heart attack and other problems that are associated with people with sleep apnea. But see, here's what Americans have to do. Americans have to put on their thinking caps, forget about Democrat, Republican, and just look at the facts. Here's the facts. There's 30 industrialized capitalist nations that have a universal Medicare for all program where they spend half of what we spend on health care per capita. Harvard Medical School says we'd save about $400 billion per year in reduced paperwork and all the billing and all the excessive corporate profits. But if we listen to Fox News and we listen to Republican members of Congress, they're going to tell us things that are false.
Joel, they tell us that socialism, and next to socialism is communism, and seeing you have Stalin killing tens of millions of people, and I don't know.
Can I ask you, listening audience, a question? The police is paid by who?
The government.
All right, that's single payer. Fire department.
That would be the government.
Coast Guard.
Although I have to tell you, Joel, I live in Alexandria, okay?
Yeah.
If you go into Old Town Alexandria, or you go into any of the great colonial cities in America, you go to Philadelphia, you go to Boston, look at those homes that date back from 1800. If you look closely, you can see on the wall they have fire plaques. And one of those fire plaques, you'll see this fire company, that fire company, because they used to have private fire insurance. And what happened if you had private fire insurance? If you paid your bill and you had a fire, that company would water down your home. They wouldn't water down the home next door. So if you bought from the wrong company and they went out of business, they would let your building burn to the ground, and it might just make the whole block go up in flames. It's happened from time to time. I don't know too many people now who want to go back to private insurance, but they could go back to private fire insurance. The roads. Roads used to be private. Trains used to be private. You could go back, and every time you make a right turn, put your money in the toll detector. That's privatism, right?
Look, if private worked, there would not be a bill in Congress right now for health reform. Obama wouldn't have ran on it. There's no movement, Blue Cross Blue Shield for all. There's a Medicare for all movement in hundreds of cities. People know that their mother and their grandmother or their daddy and their grandfather who on Medicare, that they liked it.
Well, let me give you the counter.
So let's expand it to everybody, okay. Or let's give everyone at least the freedom to choose. This is a free country.
It's an option.
People can go to public school. They can go to private school.
Right.
Give people an option. Give them the freedom, the personal choice,
to opt into something like
Medicare. I don't want these bills anymore.
Here's a counterexample. Republican Governor Mitt Romney, who ran for president, put in a system in Massachusetts that where they tried to cover everybody, and most people think it didn't work very well. What did they do wrong in Massachusetts?
Well, it was very simple. They did two things wrong. First, at least they tried. And there are people who are getting insurance that didn't have insurance before. But what they did wrong was, A, they didn't allow for a public option.
There's no public option in Massachusetts.
No, there's no public option.
So basically people are forced, it's Blue Cross Blue Shield for all.
Blue Cross Blue Shield for all in Massachusetts with a Medicaid expansion.
Okay, so if you don't want to buy from a private company, then you're penalized, the way some states do with car insurance.
Well, but here's the problem, is they relied on a private insurance employer-based model, which means you got to go to your employer. And here's the result of the Massachusetts private insurance for all subsidy program with an individual mandate, which means you get punished and fined about $1,000 a year if you don't buy these defective products. The problem is 300,000 people in Massachusetts right now still cannot afford the Massachusetts Health Exchange program. Community hospitals are closing, and hospitals, because they're robbing Peter to pay Paul. They don't have enough money to operate. Number three, the premiums, the monthly premiums are escalating. They keep going up. And then the program has so many cost overruns. Well, why? Because they depended on a defective product called private insurance.
And the defective
it's not
product,
working.
I just want to understand, the
it's
Massachusetts plan is very similar, and it, of course, was done by Republican Governor Mitt Romney. Who's likely to run for president in 2012. The same idea that they have today, which is to force everybody, every American, whether you like it or not, to buy private health insurance, even if you prefer Medicare or a public system, you got to buy from the private. And what's interesting to me is why Republicans are against people having choices. Medicare, for example, most people don't even realize it's optional, right? If you're 70 years old and you don't want to use Medicare, you can buy private insurance, right?
Yes. I mean, here's the larger question.
But they don't.
Right.
I mean, how many people over 65 don't use Medicare? I don't know, 1%, 2%.
See, the myth of Medicare, it's inefficient, it's bureaucratic. No, it's the most efficient program that we've ever had, passed in 65, fully implemented in 66, incredibly high satisfaction with those who are on it. They need to increase the reimbursement rates, which is what they want to do in Congress.
Talking about increasing it 5%. Over current, Medicare plus 5 is the magic.
Correct.
5% more, that way doctors get paid enough, hospitals get paid enough. I can tell you, we got to take one more break. When we come back, though, I want to discuss real-life stories. I know that you are a consultant on Michael Moore's movie Sicko.
Yes,
congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So I've heard your story. One of the things that very much affected me when I saw that movie was the guy who lost two fingers could only afford to sew one back on.
Yeah.
Tell us some more of the stories of private insurance
and
how they'd be different if we had Medicare for All.
Okay.
You have a chance to call in, too, if you would like to share your personal story or if you just want to comment on this topic. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
This is firstgov.gov, where we're obsessed with getting you government information.
Brand new student loan applications on the site, baby.
This calls for a celebration.
Here's your uncle.
So in the end, it was either take the astronaut gig or come work here. What can I say? Duty called.
Dude, that's my cop.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure that's Sam's cop.
Oh, sorry?
Yeah. No. Sam's. No.
Just log on or email us and get what you need.
C, change of address form. That's how it's done.
D, driver's license renewal. Mm-hmm.
E, emailing social security information.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice, we'll allow it. All right.
What are those?
Government surplus cars for auction.
You posted those online last time.
No, you did.
I'm posting them online this time.
For all your government information, firstgov.gov.
Oh, what have we got here? Sometimes you feel tired. You can't seem to lose those extra pounds off your midsection. And your joints hurt when you take the stairs. Well, you're getting older. But I'm happy to say that there's some simple things we can do to keep you happy and healthy for years to come. We can also lower your risk for some serious diseases the older population is often subject to. Proper nutrition is more important than ever. Your body has changed, you know. Not as many treats. A basic exercise plan. Lots of walks and fresh air. And most importantly, come and see me for twice yearly checkups to help ensure the best possible quality of life. Now, how does that sound? good boy.
Improve the quality of life for your elderly pet. Schedule twice yearly checkups that include preventive care and regular lab work. A message from the veterinary members of the American Animal Hospital Association.
Here again, The Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. We're talking about the public option for health care. Should you be forced against your will, as the Republicans want, to give all the money to for-profit making insurance companies? That way, the insurance executives can afford a seventh yacht. They only have four or five. They need a couple more. Help them out, even if it means that you have to lose your home and sell your children. Or, I guess happen to like that. And that's what that giggle was in the back. Or you can join the government plan. Now, I know it's government, and that scares a lot of people. But 94% of Americans like their government-run program. It's called Medicare. If you don't believe me, don't take my word. Ask your best friend or mother or father or grandmother or grandfather or great-great-aunt or uncle how they feel about Medicare. 94% of the time, you'll find they like it. And the dirty little secret, they're paying less than you are. Now, don't scare them. Don't let them think you're going to take their Medicare away. What we want to do, what Democrats want to do, is expand Medicare for all who want it. If you don't want it, if you want to pay for those insurance company yachts, you still can. But if you want the public option, we think you should have a right to get it. My guest certainly does. His name is Joel Siegel. He's someone who suffers from his own chronic illness and yet has turned around his own illness into becoming a public crusade against health insurance. Joel, I know, as I said before the break, you were consulted on Sicko.
Yes.
And you've described your story. The most famous story is the one of the guy who lost the two fingers and had to decide which one to sew back on. I read a story just recently in the Washington Post about a woman who suffered from a genetic disease, much like you do, and her daughter suffered from the same disease, and she had to choose whether she or her daughter would go blind. And she decided that she only had enough money to afford sight for one of them, and so she sacrificed her own sight, her own vision, so that her daughter could see. Terrible stories that don't happen in Japan or Canada, our neighbors to the north who aren't that different from us, or England or France or Germany, because they have universal health care. What is the moral obligation? We talked about the finances for the last 45 minutes. What is the moral obligation that we have as the richest country on earth to provide for all our citizens, and what are some of the stories that you're hearing in your work other than the ones that I've just mentioned?
Well, I've been working on universal health care for 13 years. So I can't count all the stories that I receive.
Give me a couple of them,
sure.
Just they come to your mind.
This morning I got an email from a woman in Philadelphia, and her son died because he didn't have insurance. But most of the stories I get are people with insurance who, I'll give you an example. There's a gentleman from Arizona, from Tempe, who has four disabled children. And I think he owes right around $90,000 in medical bills. He has declared bankruptcy. He is on the verge of moving out of his house. His wife left him. And it just goes on and on and on and on. There's a woman in near the Detroit, Michigan area who was in Sicko. She has cancer. And because she has cancer, her insurance company just basically dropped her coverage in the middle of getting the test that she needed so she wouldn't die. And, you know, in Sicko...
Dropped the coverage in the middle of the test.
In the middle.
So she didn't even get the... She got one test and that's it?
She had to go on national TV on C-SPAN when Obama, senior staff person, did a town hall meeting in the Detroit, Michigan area.
Oh, then I bet they gave her coverage.
Well, she stood up and said, I have cancer. My insurance company won't provide treatment. Will someone please help me? And first no one said anything, and then this woman who runs a community health clinic said, by God, can someone help this poor woman? So she's getting some care at a hospital, but that's just stopped, and she went on Medicaid. But here's the issue. When Michael Moore did Sicko, which is a brilliant movie. It's one
it
of the
is
best
a brilliant movie. And let me tell you, I'm not always a fan of Michael Moore. There's some things he does that I don't agree with. I'll just say that right off the top. That is a very, very good film.
Personally,
I wouldn't have focused on Cuba in the film, but when he talks about France and England and Canada, he's dead on.
First of all, he's a very nice guy off camera. He's probably one of the nicest persons I've ever met, and a genius, very kind to everybody. He got 25,000 stories emailed to him when filming Sicko.
25,000.
So that means 25,000 in 4 weeks. Multiply that by 12 months, and you get the American healthcare system.
Right.
And the problem with the American healthcare system is so much of the suffering.
Well, Joe, but let me
you can't see it.
Let me go through the parade of horribles.
You can't see it because not part of everyone's
let
experience.
Let me go through the parade of horribles because we've heard them all, and I don't want anyone to think that I'm giving you just the easy questions. So here are all the hard questions. I've heard them all. You've heard them all. In Canada, they have to wait months and months and months and months to get surgery. True or false?
False. In the 80s, in the 1980s, there was a problem with elective surgeries like hip replacement because they didn't have enough specialists, and then they didn't have enough of the equipment. And then they did a real smart thing. They invested in equipment and specialists, and the average waiting time, I just did the study with the American Medical Students Association, is 4 weeks.
For elective surgery. They still can get emergency surgery right away. For elective surgery, they may have to wait 4 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, emergency surgery or even just seeing a doctor, actually, they don't have 47 million people in Canada who can't get anything
right.
whatsoever,
right.
Or actually it's more like 100 million because there's 50 million underinsured. But we so often focus on Canada.
Well, let me give you some other ones.
France
let me throw out some more statistics.
One of the best.
I know what they say on Fox News, all right, or Fox propaganda, whatever you want to call it. They say that doctors in Great Britain don't get paid enough, that doctors in America, they get paid a nice handsome salary. You don't want to go to medical school in Great Britain. True or false?
No, that's false. The doctors in Great Britain, based on the surveys that I've seen, based on Sicko, based on my conversations with doctors in England, they like the British health system because they actually have a system that works, that functions for the patients and the doctors.
They don't have to fill out 26 different forms for different companies.
No, it's a single-payer system. It's like it's exactly like pretty close to our VA or the military's health system, which is, by the way, one of the best in the world.
What percentage of American doctors support a public option on health care? Because if it harms the doctors, they're going to be against
it. Well, I'll give you the breakdown. About 16,000 doctors support the public option. That means you can buy into something like Medicare. About 15,000 are for support Medicare for all, expanded and improved. So the overwhelming majority
Doctors. Doctors want a public option.
Yeah, because
conservatives say it'll harm their salary.
No. The doctors like a public option or Medicare for all because with insurance companies they have to argue with the insurance companies to get the reimbursement. Under Medicare for all or Medicare for all who want it, the funding comes from the government right into their bank account. It's very efficient. They don't have to hire a bunch of billing clerks. So it is good for their business because they don't have to spend so much money on hiring clerks, all the paperwork. They like the efficiency of the Medicare kind of system, just like senior citizens and the disabled like it for the same reason, because it works.
But they're telling us, on Fox Propaganda Channel, which as you know is run by Roger Ailes, chairman of the Republican Party, runs the network.
Fair and balanced.
So you understand, the Republican network says that it's really health insurance isn't a problem. Mm. It's trial lawyers. People like me, I'm an ex-trial lawyer, because less than 1% of all your health care costs has to do with doctors who make mistakes and people getting awards because of it. In other words, out of your $1,500 hospital bill, almost $15 went because of malpractice. And Republicans will tell you that if you can cut this half of 1% or 0.75% off of medical bills, you won't have a problem. Joe, you won't have a $1,500 health bill. You'll only have a $1,485 health care bill.
This is tangential, but you see, the American people repudiated the Republican Party orthodoxy. Trickle-down economics, what you just put forward about medical mal lawsuits causing an increase.
It's less than 1%.
Well, but here's where Obama's right, is there should be an examination in the Congress, a serious examination of medical malpractice reform. I know in New Zealand and other countries, they do it like workman's comp, where you go to a special court. Mm-hmm. And instead of it going right into the court system, and the doctor is sued, you have a chance to do dispute resolution. But if it's negligence, it goes into the court.
It just seems to me it's the tail wagging the dog. Here you have something that's taking 15 to 30% of profits, and that's health insurer execs needing their yachts. And then you have less than 1% because people who've actually been harmed are getting compensation for it. You know, one problem is much bigger than the other. I guess my question for you is this.
So solve both.
Here's my question.
Solve both problems.
Four out of five committees have the public option. 83% of Americans support the public option. The majority of doctors support the public option. The majority of the American people, you know, and voted for members of Congress, and the majority of Congress supports the public option, both in the House and in the Senate. Who's in their way, and how much are they being paid, and who's paying?
Well, I mean, this is very simple math. It's in all the newspapers. It's in the New York Times, Washington Post. This is not a big secret. But the Obama administration favors a strong Medicare-like public option because they know the people want it. Labor wants it. Faith groups want it. Doctors want it. Majority of Americans want it because they don't trust insurance companies. They've been burned by them for years and years and years. But what you're dealing with now is, I think, in the Obama administration, they want to get a bill passed. And
I'm not blaming the Obama. I want to know how much money the health insurance companies are throwing into this. And who are they paying, and what are they telling them to do? That's what I want to know.
Well, here's one thing we do know. We know that there's millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars that insurance companies spend on lobbying Congress each year. But it's really...
Part of your health care bill is going to lobby for health insurance profits.
Well, that's correct. I mean, or the TV commercials that they have on, or the millions of dollars they spend in lobbying. But here's the larger issue. The American people, this is what your listening audience needs to understand. If the American people want a opportunity to be covered by something like Medicare and get a bill, which is, instead of it being $1,495, which is crazy, that's insane, and pay $15 or zero, which is what happens with the 43 million people who have Medicare, then they should call their members of Congress or their two senators and say, we want a public option. Now, if your listening audience wants to declare bankruptcy, have medical debt incurred so they can't get a cell phone or get an apartment, they should stick with private insurance. They really should do that.
And vote for the Republicans.
Yeah, I think your listening audience knows that a program like Medicare, which has worked since 65, it either should be expanded to everybody and improved, or you should have the right to get into it. Why should we be forced as citizens to have private insurance, a defective product that bankrupts a million people each year, when we should have a choice to have the federal government provide us with not government-run health care, but a government insurance?
There are some people who reflexively oppose all government programs. They're the kind of people who shouldn't leave their house in the morning because they'd go on a public road. The government does some things well, and they don't do other things well. We've learned from 20 nations all over the planet that health care something the government does do well. I support a public option. Joel Siegel, thank you.
Keep up your great work. You're going national, pal. Sky's the limit for you.